Bottles of champagne chilled in silver ice buckets with neat rows of skinny crystal flutes lined up beside them. A crowd mingled in the juniper gallery, the air growing stuffy with people. Even with the Dutch door open, Starling stood in the center, holding rapt the attention of art enthusiasts. A circle of men still dressed in black suits and shiny dress shoes worn there on the train. Their wives circled the room. Glasses clinked. Whitney breezed inside during the first hour, kissing both Everly's cheeks, telling her straight away how fabulous the prints were. How did it go in the city? Everly hadn't seen her when she'd returned the car earlier. It was upsetting, but wonderful too. I'll fill you in later, but I think my parents and I are finally on the same page. I'm so relieved. That phone call scared me. Whitney pointed at the photographs in awe. I can't believe you worked on these. After that, the two friends moved through each portrait, Everly giving Whitney an insider's take on the show. It was in front of Lucille Ball that Everly introduced Whitney to Starling, and it felt like the cosmic meeting of two entirely different planets. The women shook hands, and the artist, with her thick glasses and black silk Oxford blouse, offered insight into how she got the comedienne to pose. Then she motioned toward Everly. Your friend has real talent, Starling told Whitney, the quiet voices of patrons talking all around them. You should ask to see some of her artwork. Thank you, Everly blushed. Whitney was one of my first subjects. The memory amused Whitney. She'd make me pose in the city streets in prom dresses, cabbies honking at us. I believe it. When Lee sets her mind to something, she doesn't let up. A warmth spread through Everly, her chin tilting with satisfaction. She had never felt so seen.